Despite a growing awareness of food waste, many well-intentioned home cooks lack the tools to change their habits. The average American throws away around $30 each month in the form of uneaten food. Enter Dana Gunders. In her book, Waste-Free Kitchen Handbook, Natural Resources Defense Council scientist Dana Gunders dispels the illusion that addressing food waste issues requires tons of your time and money. By showing how to shop smarter, portion more accurately, and simply use a refrigerator properly, Gunders gives the tools to produce less waste and eat more consciously. Again, the name of the book is Waste-Free Kitchen Handbook, A Guide to Eating Well and Saving Money by Wasting Less Food. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Dana Gunders to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Joe.
As I mentioned, you are a staff scientist at the Natural Resources Defense Council and leads the NRDC's work on reducing the amount of food wasted across the country. How does one get into that particular line of work?
One stumbles upon it, in fact. I actually was working on a project that had to do with sustainable agriculture and the different impacts that growing food can have. And I kind of stumbled upon these numbers that 40% of food in this country is going to waste. And 25% of all the water in the country is going to grow food that actually never gets eaten. And these numbers kept coming and really startling me. And I felt like, wow, we really need to be talking about this and doing something about it.
How did we get to the point that we got to, do you think?
You know, it's a great question. We actually waste 50% more today than we did in the 1970s. So there's something about this that's a relatively new phenomenon. You know, over that same time period, the price of food in terms of how much it costs us, you know, as a percentage of our budget has gone down. Portion sizes have gone up. And in fact, the average cookie has quadrupled in calories since the 1980s, and the average Caesar salad has doubled. So, you know, there's only two things happening with those extra calories. Either we're eating them, and that's not necessarily a good thing, or we're not, and we're wasting them.
I mean, you point out in the book that we used to be much more forgiving of the leftover. We don't tend to like that anymore.
Well, you know, there's sort of two kinds of people out there, as I've observed, those who like leftovers and sort of love them, and then those who just won't have it at all. You know, there's a culture of abundance around food these days. It's so easy to come by, right? You're hungry, you just go grab a sandwich, you run out to the store, and there's not kind of this ethos that we really need to use everything we buy. And that extends to leftovers as well, that, you know, there, a lot of people are just kind of, they can afford to just say, I don't really feel like eating that for 2 days in a row.
You have a form in the book. It's a sample weekly wasted food form. So if we fill this out, what do we find out and what, in your experience, are the conclusions that most people draw from it?
Well, here's the thing. Most of us waste a lot more food than we realize, and it happens in little bits and pieces here and there, and so we don't really realize it. And so what I suggest for those who really want to get a handle on what's going on is to just take that form that you mentioned and stick it by your fridge, I'm sorry, your garbage can or your compost, and every time that you wind up throwing food out, just jot it down along with about how much you paid for that food and why you're throwing it out. You know, is it bad? Did you make too much? Do you not feel like eating it anymore? And at the end of a couple weeks, you'll have a really great snapshot, not only of your habits that tend to lead to wasting food, but also how much it's actually costing you.
You refer to this as a waste audit, and this is part of changing our habits, but once you have a price tag on it, it helps.
It does, yeah. I mean, the other thing it does is that it can help you customize a plan for yourself. You know, people's food management habits vary widely, and wasting less food is really about managing your food better. And so there's not a one-size-fits-all plan, and by really taking a look at what you're doing, you'll be able to customize that plan.
One of the things that you write about in the book, and actually I mentioned it in the introduction, is that you talk about how we can actually use our refrigerators properly. How do many of us not use our refrigerators properly?
Well, it's a funny thing. You know, we all have a refrigerator in our kitchen, and yet I would venture to say that most of us, including me before I wrote this book, have never given much of a thought to how the refrigerator is designed to be used or you know, what those drawers are for, et cetera. So, you know, most of us are not using the crisper drawers quite right. The best way to use them is to set one of the drawers to high and one to low. The drawers create a different humidity level in the refrigerator. And so by changing one to high and one to low, that allows you to put those things that really need high humidity to stay crisp in one drawer, like lettuce, carrots, broccoli. And then in the other drawer, which has a little more ventilation when it's low, you can put fruits and other things that may tend to rot because they need a little more aeration.
You also say that it's important not to overfill your refrigerator, although most of the refrigerators I've seen are usually chock full.
It's true. And, you know, I think we have some funny thing tied to having empty refrigerators. It feels very uncomfortable to have an empty refrigerator. That's not what this is about. But when your refrigerator is stuffed really full, for one thing, you can't see what's in it. And many of us have had that experience of cleaning out the fridge and finding something in back that you forgot about. And that's really not helpful for anyone. And no one likes to clean that either. It also helps to have some air circulating in order to keep the temperature quite right. This is not to say you should have an empty fridge, but to just have enough space that you can see everything.
Dana Gunders from the NRDC is our guest. The name of the new book is Waste Free Kitchen Handbook, A Guide to Eating Well and Saving Money by Wasting Less Food. Talk to me about expiration dates. What is it important for us to know?
So those dates that you see on food, use by, sell by, best by, many people think they're telling you to throw the food out, but that's not, in fact, the case. Really, those dates are just manufacturer suggestions for when the product is at its peak quality. They're not regulated for the most part, and they are not about the food safety or telling you that it's bad.
So how do we know? How do we know if it's bad or not? Especially, and at what point does it become bad? So if you find that that bottle of salad dressing that has never been opened, it's in the back of your pantry, and it says that it expired 8 months ago, how concerned should we be?
I would not be at all concerned about that that bottle of salad dressing. You know, something shelf stable like that, they tends to be good for years, as long as it's unopened after those dates. And, you know, it's a great question in terms of how do we know. In fact, that's ultimately the question that led me to write this whole book, because it's a little bit challenging to answer. It's very food specific, but there is a guiding principle behind it all, and that is that when food makes us sick, that is not because it's old. So food aging is actually not something that makes us sick. Really, things like E. coli, salmonella, they contaminate food, and they get on food, you know, in the farm, in the processing plant. But it's not about the food being old, and they would make us sick regardless of the food's age. Now, most food is not contaminated, and it just goes through the natural process of aging. And that natural process involves different bacteria and enzymes. And our bodies are very well equipped to know when to not eat food from that natural process of aging. And those things will not give us food poisoning.
And also, when you say well-equipped, I mean, if we taste something and it tastes horrible, then stop eating it, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what I mean.
Okay, all right.
If it tastes bad, if it smells bad, if it's slimy and looks bad, you know, don't eat it. But if it tastes and smells perfectly fine and it just happens to be a few days past the date, then it's probably fine to eat.
You do include a lot of recipes in the book, which I actually will admit surprised me a little bit because it doesn't really start off being a cookbook, if you will. But the idea, I guess, is to provide recipes to use up things that are commonly dismissed from the kitchen.
That's right. And the recipe section is meant to be inspiration as much as specific recipes. There about half the recipes in there are catch-all recipes. How do you make a basic soup that you can open up your refrigerator door and put everything in it? Or a frittata or tacos, you know, just ideas on how to use everything up. And then the other half of the recipes really focus in on one ingredient that we tend to need to use up. So there's, for instance, a sour milk pancake recipe that you can actually cook with milk once it is a little bit sour and use it as a substitute for buttermilk in pancakes or other baked goods. There's also a recipe for overripe avocados to make a chocolate avocado mousse, which I know sounds a little strange, but the cocoa powder covers up any strange, like, overripe taste of the avocados. It's actually delicious, and it substitutes for the butter and cream, so it's much healthier.
Extra chili peppers, softening fruits, or fresh herbs at your disposal? Dana says you can make infused vodka with them.
That's right. We say on the road to less food waste, there's always time for a cocktail.
And ultimately, what do you hope people get out of this? An understanding, certainly.
Yeah, you know, my hope is that people walk away from the book with both information and inspiration to waste less. So it's really meant to arm you with the information that you need when you're standing at your kitchen counter holding a wrinkled tomato trying to decide if you have to throw it out or not. And it's also meant to just inspire people and empower them to feel like they're really comfortable in their kitchen and they know how to use up food. You know, when you look at really good chefs, they tend to utilize most of their food because they're very empowered in their kitchens. And so with this book, you know, we have a whole section where you can look up foods and learn how to store them, 85 different common foods, and learn if they're supposed to go in the freezer or not, and get ideas for how to use them up if they're a little past their prime, and if the brown dots mean anything, that sort of thing. And so we're really trying to empower people to get out there, get in their kitchens, cook, and not be afraid of their food, but rather cook something delicious with it.
The name of the book is Waste-Free Kitchen Handbook, A Guide to Eating Well and Saving Money by Wasting Less Food. It is published by Chronicle Books. Dana Gunders is a staff scientist at the Natural Resources Defense Council and leads the NRDC's work on reducing the amount of food wasted across the country. Dana Gunders, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, Jim.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Waste-Free Kitchen Handbook. It's published by Chronicle. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.